Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novick. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Ishut Perek Bet. This perek continues the introduction which began in Perek Aleph to the fundamental concepts of marital relationships which we will encounter throughout Hilchot Ishut and the rest of Sefer Nashim. The last perek dealt with a mitzvah of Kiddushin and surveyed the different categories of Yisurei Bia. The remaining fundamental concepts to be defined and explained in this perek are those of personal status, which relate to biology and physical development, of the typical male and female, of those whose bodies will never develop fully in the normal manner, and of other exceptional cases, like the tumtum, androgynous, and the cheresh. We will learn the definitions of many types of people in this perek, like the nara, the bogeret, the ilonit, and the sris. However, this perek does not discuss the halachic applications of each type of person. Those will come later in Hilchot Ishut and in the remainder of Sefer Nashim. Halacha Aleph. Habat miyom leidata ad shetiyeh bat 12 shana gemurot, hi hanikreit ktana, v'nikreit tinoket, v'afilu heviya kama sa'arot b'toch hazman hazeh, einan ela keshuma. אבל אם הביאה שתי שערות למטה בגוף, במקומות הידועות להבאת שיער, והיא מבת 12 שנה ויום אחד במעלה, נקראת נערה. והבאת שתי שערות בזמן הזה נקרא סימן התחתון. There are three stages of female development in halacha. Until 12 years of age, a girl has the status of a ketana. This is true no matter how physically mature she is. The main determination of physical maturity in halacha, known as siman tachton, is the presence of pubic hair, referred to in halacha simply as sa'arot. Until the age of 12, even if a girl has many sa'arot, these do not change her status, because they are assumed to be a shuma, that is, an abnormal growth due to some type of wart, and unrelated to physical maturity. Only once a girl reaches the age of 12 do we consider the sa'arot, specifically two sa'arot or shtei sa'arot, to be a sign of physical development, and the combination of 12 years of age and the siman tachton gives her the status of a na'ara. Continuing in halacha bet, u'me'achar shetavi siman tachton tikarei na'ara ad shisha chodashim gemurim, u'mitchilat yom tashlum ha'shisha chodashim v'mala tikarei bogeret, ve'ein bein na'arut v'agrut ela shisha chodashim bilvad. The status of Na'ara lasts for exactly 6 months from whenever it starts, that is, the arrival of the later of the two conditions, 12 years of age and the Siman Tachton of Shtei Sarot. From the end of that six-month period, the woman moves to the third and final stage of her development, and she is called a Bogeret. Halacha Gimel. Higia l'shtemesh reshana v'yom echad, v'lo hevia shtei sarot, af api sheniru ba simanei ailonit, adayin ktanahi, ad esrim shana. וכשתביא שתי שערות, אפילו בשנת 20, תהיה נערה 6 חודשים, ואחר כך תיקרא בוגרת. An ilonit is a woman whose physical development is arrested at an early stage, and who therefore never develops the siman tachton of shtei sarot. There are certain positive indicators that a woman is an ilonit. They are listed later in halacha vav. But these indicators aren't taken into consideration until close to the age of 20. From age 12 until then, we don't assume that a woman without a siman tachton is an ilonit. Rather, we simply wait. If she belatedly grows shtei sarot, then she becomes a nara for 6 months and then a bogeret. Otherwise, she remains a ktana for the time being. Halacha dalet. Haita bat 20 shana pachot 30 yom, velo hevia shtei sarot, v'niruba simanei ailonit, harehi ailonit, vim lo niruba kol simanei ailonit, adain ktanahi, ad shtavi shtei sarot, o ad shetie bat 5 u30 shana v'yom echad. Higia lazman hazeh velo hevia shtei sarot, harei zo nikreit ailonit, v'af api shelo niraba siman misimanei ailonit. Nimtzeita lamed sha'ailonit ein la yemei narut, ela mikatnuta teitse levagrut. Only when she reaches exactly 30 days shy of her 20th birthday may we take into account any positive indicators, simanim, that she is an ailonit. If she has the simanim, then she becomes an ailonit, and the Rama clarifies that she is retroactively considered an ailonit from age 12. In the absence of the simanim, she remains a ketana as she was until now. If she continues in this state of not having shtei sarot, but also lacking simani ailonit, then she remains a ketana until age 35, at which point she becomes an ailonit even without any positive simanim to that effect. So an Eilonit is never a Na'ara. She goes straight from Ktana to Eilonit, either whenever Simani Eilonit appear from a month before her 20th birthday, or at age 35 if no Simani Eilonit appear at all. The term Gidola, whenever it is used, refers to any female who isn't a Ktana, meaning anyone who is either a Na'ara, a Bogeret, or an Eilonit. Two additional points regarding this halacha. First, the Ravid in his Asaga here disputes the Rambam's cutoff date of 30 days before her 20th birthday. His understanding, as well as that of most Rishonim, is that the correct cutoff date is earlier, 30 days after her 19th birthday. Fundamentally, the cutoff should be 20 years of age, but we have a rule in halacha that Shloshim Yom Bashana Chashuvim Shana, 30 days of a year is the equivalent of the entire year. And therefore, once she reaches 19 years and a month, we consider her to be 20 years old. The Shulchan Aruch accepts this majority opinion and brings that of the Rambam as a Yesh Omrim. Second, Halacha Vav lists several positive indicators that a woman is an Eilonit, and it is unclear from the language of the Rambam here if a woman between ages 20 and 35 becomes an Eilonit if she has even one of those simanim, or only if she has all of them. Both the Magen Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah understand that she only becomes an Eilonit if she has all the simanim, unlike the parallel case of a male becoming a Saris, which we'll learn in Halacha Yud Aleph. However, the Rama quotes in the name of the tour that even one siman suffices. Halacha Vav, as we mentioned, lists the simanim of an Eilonit. These include a lack of breasts, a low voice which resembles that of a man, and pain while engaging in sexual activity. We continue with Halacha Zayin. V'yesh babat simanim milmala, v'hena nikra'in siman ha'elyon. In addition to the siman tachton of shei sarot, there are certain physical features in the upper part of the female body, which are referred to collectively as siman elyon. The remainder of this halacha lists eight of them, which we won't enumerate in detail. Six of them relate to the physical development of the breasts, and the remaining two relate to an area in the front of the body just above where the shei sarot appear. Halacha chet explains the relevance of these simanim. Nira babat siman mikol elu okulan, vihi bat 12 shana opachot, ein mashkichin bo, varehi bekatnuta. Nasat bat 12 shana v'yom echad, v'nira ba siman ha-tachton, ein mashkichin b'echad mikol elu. V'im lo nira ha-tachton, v'nira echad me'elu, harehi safek bein nara liktana, v'danim ba lahachmir. V'im niru kulan, harehi ze gedola vada'it, shi efshar shiavo kulam, ela uchvar ba siman ha-tachton v'nashar. Like the Siman Tachton, there is no significance to the Siman Elyon before age 12, and the girl that age is a Ktana no matter what. From age 12, as we know, a Siman Tachton makes her a Na'ara, whether or not there is any Siman Elyon. For the Rambam, the eight forms of Siman Elyon are completely irrelevant if the Siman Tachton of Shtei Sarot is present. But the Shulchan Aruch rules that they are relevant even in this case. Ordinarily, a woman spends 6 months having the status of a Na'ara, but she skips part or all of that period and automatically becomes a Bogeret if she has all of these simanim. For the Rambam, though, there is no way to shorten the 6 month period of Na'arut, and the Siman Elyon is only relevant if a girl reaches age 12 and has no Siman Tachton. In this case, if she has one or more of the Simanei Elyon, but not all eight, then we are unsure whether to consider her a Ktana or a Na'ara, and so we are machmir in both directions depending on the case. And if she has all eight of the Simanei Elyon, then she is definitely considered a Na'ara, because it is inconceivable that all of these simanim would be present without the siman tachton of shtei sarot having arrived as well. Even if she doesn't in fact have shtei sarot now, our assumption is that hairs did grow there, but they fell out before she was checked. Halacha tet. Habat shialda achar shtei mesrei shana, af api shelo hevia siman, lo elyon lo tachton, harei zo gdola, banim harei hein kesimanim. If a girl bears a child from age 12 or older, this is an automatic way to be classified as a gedola, meaning a Na'ara for 6 months and then a bogeret, even in the absence of any other siman, either elyon or tachton. The rule is banim harei hein kisimanim. The ability to bear a child is equivalent to, and really is stronger than, any other biological siman which indicates the onset of adulthood. The Shulchan Aruch applies this rule even to a girl below age 12, and the Rama adds that this is already true lechumra from the beginning of pregnancy. This would mean, for instance, that a pregnant girl cannot do miyun, which can only be done by a ketana. This is relevant for a case we'll see later in Perek Yud Tet. Halacha Yud. Haben mishivaleid ad shiye ben 13 shana, nikra katan v'nikra tinok. V'afilu hevi kama sa'arot betoch zman ze, einan siman ela shuma. Hevi shtei sa'arot lemata, v'amakomot ha'iduim l'se'ar, v'hu miben 13 shana v'yom echad v'mala, nikra gadol v'nikra ish. The situation for a young boy is parallel to the situation for a young girl, with age 13 taking the place of age 12. Until age 13, the boy is called a katan, or a tinok, and even a siman tachton of shtei sarot during that time is considered a shuma, rather than an indication of physical maturity. Once the boy reaches age 13 and develops shtei sarot, he is called a gadol, or an ish. Halacha Yud Aleph. Higia lazman hazeh v'lo hevi shtei sarot, af api shenirubo bo simanei saris, harei ze katan, ad shiye ben 20 shana pachot 30 yom. Higia lazman hazeh v'lo hevi shtei sarot lemata, v'lo hevi shtei sarot bezakan, im nira bo echad mi simanei saris, harei ze saris, v'dino din agadol l'chol davar. V'im lo nira bo siman mi simanei saris, adayin katan hu, ad shiyavi shtei sarot lemata, b'makom haraui lehen, o ad shiye ben 5 u'30 shana v'yom echad. The male who never reaches physical maturity, parallel to the ilonit in the case of a woman, is called a saris. The word saris comes from the root samach resh samach, which connotes castration and infertility, and both the saris and the ilonit are unable to have children. There are certain positive indicators that a man is a saris, the simanei saris, which we'll see in Halacha Yud Gimel, but these aren't relevant until 30 days before he reaches age 20. Here too, the Ravid and other Rishonim consider the relevant age to be 19 years and 30 days, and the Shulchan Aruch accepts their view. If a man reaches that age and doesn't have shtei sarot, but has at least one of these simanei saris, then he becomes a gadol at that point and is classified as a saris. If he has no simanei saris at age 20 and doesn't develop any after that age, then he remains a katan either until he develops shtei sarot, in which case he becomes a gadol at that point, or when he reaches age 35, in which case he becomes a saris even in the absence of any simanei saris. All of this sounds very parallel to the considerations of when a woman becomes classified as an ilonit. However, we note a major difference. Once a woman reaches age 20 without shtei sarot, we noted the understanding of the Magen Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah, based on the ambiguity of the Rambam's language, that she only becomes an ilonit before age 35 if she has all of the simanei ilonit. But for a man, the situation once he reaches age 20 and lacks the siman tachton of shtei sarot depends on one additional factor, whether he has a rudimentary beard of at least 2 facial hairs. If he has 2 facial hairs, then Halacha Yud Bet clarifies that he only becomes a saris before age 35 if he displays all of the simanei saris, parallel to the case of ilonit. But if he doesn't have 2 facial hairs, then even 1 siman saris is sufficient to classify him as a saris. The Ravid has a completely different opinion. He believes that the lack of 2 facial hairs is itself a siman saris, and that lahalacha, this is the only relevant siman. If a man reaches age 20 without a siman tachton and without 2 facial hairs, then he is automatically classified as a saris. And conversely, if he has 2 facial hairs, then he cannot become a saris, even if he has all the other simanei saris listed in Halacha Yud Gimel. The other simanei saris, which are relevant for the Rambam, but not for the Ravid, listed in Halacha Yud Gimel, include very sparse and thin hair on the head, no hair on the skin, various indicators that his urine is abnormal or that he isn't able to urinate properly, and finally, his voice is high-pitched for a man, and one cannot tell by hearing it if it is the voice of a man or a woman. Both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah accept the understanding of the Rambam and list all of these simanei saris which appear in Halacha Yud Gimel. We note that poskim take the view that the simanei saris and simanei ilonit are just meant to be indicators of an underlying physiological condition, the inability to procreate. And therefore, if a medical diagnosis determines that a man or woman is unable to have children, this can establish a status of saris or ilonit even in the absence of the simanim discussed in this perek. The most important application of this halacha is in situations of yibum, because there is no need for yibum or chalitza if the widow is an ilonit, or if the brother of the deceased is a saris. Halacha Yud Dalet. וסריס זה הוא הנקרא סריס חמה בכל מקום. אבל הבן שחתכו או ניתקו או מייחו גידו או ביצב, כמו שהגויים עושים, הוא הנקרא סריס אדם. וכשיהיה בן 13 שנה ויום אחד, נקרא גדול שאין זה מביא סימן לעולם. The saris of the type we have described until now is assumed to have been a saris since birth, and is called a saris chama, a saris from the moment of his exposure to the sun. But of course, there is another way that one can become a literal saris, which is if he is physically castrated in any manner. This person is called a saris adam, and unlike a saris chama, he formally becomes a saris, and therefore a gadol, from the moment he turns 13, as his physical condition guarantees that he will never produce shtei sarot. Halacha tetvav, ben shlosh esrei shana v'yom achad, shelo hevi siman shelamata, v'nir'u bo kol ha-simanin shelamala, harei ze safek bein katan legadol, v'im lo nivdak milamata, kevan shnir'u bo simanei bagrut milamala, harei ze b'cheskat gadol. If a male is 13 years old and lacks shtei sarot, but also lacks all the simanei saris from Halacha Yud Gimel, meaning, among other things, that he has two facial hairs, then his status is safek katan, safek gadol, and we need to be machmir in both directions depending on the case. But in this situation, there is in general no need to check if he has shtei sarot. Because he has two facial hairs and lacks the other simanei saris, we may assume that he has shtei sarot, and therefore there is a chazaka, an inherent presumption that he is a gadol. A very practical question. What about a boy who reaches age 13 and does not yet have facial hair? Is there any need to check that he has shtei sarot, or may we assume that this siman is present unless we know for sure that it isn't? The opinion of the Amora Rava in the Gemara is that there is a chazaka, an automatic presumption that a boy or a girl who has reached the age of maturity, 13 or 12 years respectively, has a siman tachton, and is therefore a gadol or gedola. There is a machloket among poskim whether we may rely on this chazaka only for dinim derabanan or even for dinim doraita. For example, the first situation in which the status of a boy age 13 is halachically relevant is typically to count him for a minyan, or when he reads the Torah on behalf of the tzibur, or if he leads the tefillah as the shaliach tzibur. Since kriyat haTorah, tefillah b'tzibur, and chazarat hashatz are all rabbinic takanot, these situations are covered by the chazaka of Rava, and there is no need to check that the boy has shtei sarot. But if the boy wishes to read for the tzibur Parshat Zachor, which for many Rishonim is a mitzvah d'oraita, then some achronim would require that he be checked for shtei sarot to ensure that he really is a gadol. However, several contemporary posts can believe that in the modern setting where checking physical maturity is embarrassing and causes discomfort, this is the equivalent of a situation where the young man cannot be checked at all, and therefore we may rely on the chazaka even when the matter at stake is a mitzvah d'oraita. Halacha Tet Zayin. Shtei sarot hamurot baben uvabat uvachol makom shiuran kedei lachof roshan liikaran umi sheyitzmechu v'yu yicholot linatel b'fi hazug ad sheyagiu lachof roshan liikaran danin bahen lachmir b'chol makom lefichach baben uvabat nachshov otam gedolim lachmir ho'il litzmechu kedei linatel b'fi hazug v'nachshov otam ketanim lachmir ho'il v'lo higiu lachof roshan liikaran. The next several halachot clarify certain details about the shtei sarot required as a siman tachton. To be considered shtei sarot beyond any doubt, they must be long enough that they can be bent with the fingers so that the top end touches the root. However, once they reach a shorter length, at which they can be cut with a pair of scissors, the child is safek katan, safek gadol, and we need to be machmir in both directions depending on the case. Halacha Yud Zayin clarifies that the shtei sarot must be in the area of the private parts. They need to be close to each other, and they need to emerge from clearly noticeable follicles, or even from a single follicle. If there are two follicles without hairs, this qualifies as a siman of shtei sarot, because the assumption is that there were hairs in those follicles which fell out. Halacha Yud Chet. Habat shevi shtei sarot betoch shnat 12, vaben shevi betoch 13, shein shuma, kmo shebiarnu, af al pi shotan sarot bimkoman omdot, achar 13 lezachar, vachar 12 lenekeva, einan siman. במה דברים אמורים? בשנבדקו בתוך הזמן, ונודע שאין שומה. אבל אם לא נבדקו, אלא אחר זמן, ונמצאו שם שתי שערות, הרי הן מחזקת סימנים. ואין אומרים שמה קודם זמן צמחו, כדי שיהיו שומה. As we mentioned, any hairs which grow before the age of potential adulthood, 12 for a girl, 13 for a boy, are considered a shuma and not a siman tachton. Therefore, even if these hairs remain in place until the age of potential adulthood is reached, they still have the status of shuma and are not halachically significant. However, if the child was not checked at all before age 12 or 13, and only after that age were these hairs discovered, they are assumed to be a siman tachton, and we are not concerned that they were in fact there earlier and are therefore a shuma. It emerges from this halacha that there is no value, and indeed it is counterproductive, to check if a child has shtei sarot before age 12 or 13. Any sarot which are found then are considered a shuma for all time, and therefore those same sarot cannot be relied upon as a siman even after the child reaches age 12 or 13. Halacha Chaf clarifies that a girl must be checked by a woman who knows how to check properly and who can be trusted to do so. Even one woman who checks is sufficient, as long as she is known to be reliable, because this is a matter which can be easily verified, and so we assume that she would not risk ruining her reputation by giving a false report. Halacha Chaf Aleph. Kol hashanim hamurot beben uvavat ubarachin uvachom akom einan lo shnei halvana velo shnei achama ela shanim shel seder ha'ibur sheim shutot umbuvarot kamo shebeitin kovin otan kamo shebiarnu bilchot kibush ha'chodesh uvotan hashanim monin lechol divrei hadat. This is a halacha which at first glance seems obvious, but upon further reflection represents a very profound statement about the nature of halachic reality. What qualifies as a year in counting the numbers of years which have come up in this perek? 12, 13, 20, 35? Both for defining adulthood as in this perek, and in order to determine age for purposes of Hilchot Erchin, which depend on one's exact age, we do not use lunar years of 12 months, nor solar years of 365 and a quarter days, but rather years determined by Beitin based on the principles of Ibur Shana that we learned in Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh, Perek Dalet. Some years are 12 months, and some are 13 months. This means, as is familiar to us from calculating bar and bat mitzvah dates, that adulthood depends on the calendar date. If someone is born on, say, the 10th of Adar, then that person will reach adulthood, assuming the arrival of shtei sarot by that date, on the 10th of Adar, either 12 or 13 years later. While this din sounds innocuous, the Yerushalmi and Sanhedrin points out the seeming absurdities which can result. Suppose, in the example of a girl born on the 10th of Adar, that she reaches age 12 and is considered a na'ara. Then, days or even weeks later, Beit Din decides to do Ibur Shana and adds a month to the year. This na'ara reverts to being a ktana again, until the 10th of the second Adar, when she again becomes a na'ara. Meaning, the hairs which she had on the 10th of Adar of the first month, which were then considered a siman, revert back to being a shuma. And only later, when the 10th of Adar Sheni is reached, do they again become a siman. Through their control of the calendar, Beit Din has the ability to affect reality and the stages of adulthood as delineated by halacha. Halachot Chaf Bet and Chaf Gimel explain that even though we rely on one witness in checking simanim, as we saw in Halacha Chaf, this is not the case for determining a child's age. For this, we require two valid witnesses, meaning adult men who are not close relatives of the child. If the father testifies that his child has reached the age of adulthood, we rely on him for matters of iser, like if the child or young adult made a neder, we may consider it valid and binding, but not for matters of punishment in beitin, like to administer malkot if the youngster committed, in front of edim and with hatra, an avera which carries this punishment. Halacha Chaf Dalet. Mi sheyesh lo evarei zachrut veevarei nakvut, hu hanikra androgynous, v'hu safek im zacharim nekeva, ve'en lo siman shivada bo im hu zachar vadai o nekeva vadait le'olam. Umi she'en lo lo zachrut v'lo nakvut, ela atum, hu hanikra tumtum, v'gam hu safek, v'im nikra tumtum, v'nimtza zachar, harei hu kezachar vadai, v'nimtza nekeva, harei hu nekeva. We've encountered the androgynous and the tumtum before, and here the Rambam formally defines them. The androgynous is someone with both male and female sexual organs. His status is one of suffik, and so we are machmir in both directions to consider him a man and a woman, whichever is the more stringent assumption in any given case. A tumtum is a person whose sexual organs are entirely covered, and we have no way to establish gender. Unlike the Androgynous, who remains in a state of suffix for his entire life, it is possible that the status of the tumtum will be resolved if at some point the covering of his sexual organs is torn, and what lies beneath clearly reveals that he is either a male or a female. Halacha Chaf Vav. Chereish v'chereshet hamurin b'chol makom, hein ha'ilmin she'ein shumin ve'ein medabrin. Ava mi she'medaber ve'ino shomea, o shomea ve'ino medaber, harehu k'chol adam. Ve'ish ve'isha she'ein shleimim medatan, ve'inan lo chershin ve'lo shotim, nikra'in pikeach ufikachat. A cheresh, or chereshet in halacha, is a deaf mute, and he or she is considered to lack da'at like a child and a shote. This makes the cheresh exempt from all mitzvot, and therefore unable to be motzi others in mitzvot, and also has ramifications for marriage and divorce, as we'll see later. A deaf person who is able to speak, and conversely a mute, elaim, who is able to hear, are both considered to have da'at, and do not have the status of cheresh. The term for an adult who has complete da'at, meaning not a cheresh or a shote, is pikeach, and pikachat for a female. We note that poskim in recent times, starting as early as the 18th century, discuss whether nowadays we still treat a deaf mute as the equivalent of a shote and katan, even though he has the ability to learn, to communicate through sign language, and in many cases, even to speak in a rudimentary form which can be understood by others. Many believe that a cheresh who is able to speak even a little bit has the din of a pikeach, and some feel that even fluency in sign language may be sufficient in certain areas of halacha. A parallel discussion among poskim addresses whether one who cannot hear on his own, but can do so using a hearing aid, has the status of a cheresh or not. In the last halacha of the perek, the Rambam reviews the 20 concepts which we have learned in this and the last perek. We'll read his list out loud, and the listener who doesn't recognize any of the items on the list is encouraged to review the recording of the relevant perek. Nimtzu'u kol ha-shemot shebi'arnu inyanam b'shnei prakim elu esrim shemot ve'elu hein. Kiddushin, Erva, Shnia, Isurei Lavin, Isurei Asei, Ktana, Na'ara, Bogeret, Ailonit, Gidola, Siman Tachton, Siman Elyon, Katan, Sris Chama, Sris Adam, Gadol, Androgynous, Tumtum, Chereshim, Ufikrim. Sim kol hashemot ha'elu l'umatcha tamid, va'al yaluzu me'inecha kol inyanehem, kedei shelo nye tzrichin leva'er inyan kol shemehen b'chol makom shnizkor oto. The last lines encourage the reader to have a firm grasp of these concepts, so that there will be no need to review what each one means whenever it comes up later in Hilchot Ishut and in the remainder of Sefer Nashim.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.